good morning. You know, if I can borrow the words of Cornelius as the Apostle Peter came and preached to him, he said, we are gathered together before God to hear, paraphrasing, the words of God. And that's what we're here today for, and I hope that we'll accomplish that before we leave here. Coming to a building doesn't ensure that we've done what we came to do, that is to worship. And if we'll remember that we're the participants and that God is the audience, maybe that'll help us to do just that. We're at a time of year when, we're well acquainted with giving and receiving gifts. That's kind of tomorrow, especially for young kids. Boy, you can't hardly wait till tomorrow because that's the day you get presents. And some of those gifts that we receive are received with great excitement and appreciation and joy, and some of them you don't quite know what to do, you know, with. You well, maybe we can re-gift this next year or something. But you just, when I was growing up, we had gifts that my parents found, I don't know, sadistic humor. And we would get, do you remember the little lifesaver box? Like, it's a book, it opens up and has lifesavers on each side. And my parents would get us that every year, and we didn't get a whole lot of presents. So when we would open that one, it was just like, oh, lifesavers, you know, and it was and so they got creative. They would like put it in a box that was big and heavy. And you think, this has got to be good. Anything that weighs this much, and you open it and there's two bricks and a lifesavers box, you know, and for years we had this running gag with those kind of gifts. Some gifts mean more to you than other gifts. I've got, a couple gifts here. One, this one was given to me by my uncle. It's a stopwatch. I don't know why I gave it. He was my favorite uncle at the time. At the time. Not that he changed. I was a kid and he was my favorite uncle and he was a basketball coach and all these things, played ball, and he had this stopwatch, and he gave it to me, and I thought, oh, how cool, a stopwatch. And I came home, you know, click, click, you know, run around the block, click, you know, and okay, well, that loses its, you know, luster after a while. But my dad had this daily radio program that lasted 15 minutes, and it had to be timed exactly right. And so he said, I'm going to use that stopwatch. And he took my gift, my stopwatch, and used it for 40 years. And you can hear, like, in the background of his radio programs, and some of them are still on my website, but you can hear of that stopwatch going in the background. So when my dad passed away, my mom gave me my stopwatch back. And, I wouldn't trade this for anything. A little closer, and I know Kelly's here today, too. And she's given me gifts like this, too, but they're bigger, and I couldn't bring them up as conveniently. It's not that I don't cherish her gifts. But Anne-Marie gave me this gift a few years ago. And it's just a jar with little notes on the inside. And it says, a few reasons why I love you. And you open it up, and the very first one is, I've never seen you in a fight, but I've always believed you could beat up other kids' dads. You know, this is not for sale. This is cherished and stays, on my desk. But there are gifts that aren't so valuable, but there are some that are very valuable to us. And I want us to consider how that God has given us a gift that maybe we don't appreciate. Maybe we don't recognize just how good this gift is. It may not meet our expectations because it's not what we expected. And that gift is, of course, Jesus. And think of how Jesus comes in a way that probably we would not have expected. He came into this world as a helpless baby. If you were to tell, if I were to hear that God is going to come in to make an entrance into humanity and become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rescue us from perishing, I would not have pictured his coming as a helpless baby, needing somebody to do everything for him and spending how much time just growing up to get to the point where you can do what you came to do. I would have expected a conquering, powerful, mighty soldier who comes riding in on a stallion, all of a sudden, there he is. That's not the way he came. It's not a gift in the way that I expected it. Who would have thought that the King of Kings would have refused to be a king? But that's the Jesus that we serve. You know, he came to be a king, but when they tried to make him a king, you remember in John 6, he said, no, I'm not going to be your king. And he escaped from the people because they wanted to make him a king. So we have a king who refuses to be a king. That's not what you would expect. He's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Old Testament term. Mighty in power, the captain of the Lord's army. And he comes to this earth and he tells Peter, when it gets right down to crunch time, he tells Peter, put up your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. That's not what you expect from a conquering warrior who came to conquer. We see a cross. And all we can see from a human perspective is defeat. But he conquered through that cross. It's not what anyone expected. And so, you know, with that thought in mind, he was not at all what we expected, but he's everything that we needed. And I want us to talk, and if you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 8. I want us to use a setting that will show how some people react to this gift of Jesus. Because there are three distinct reactions in this text. And you should find yourself in this story. But it's just a matter of you identifying and being honest with yourself and saying, well, where am I? Who am I most like? And that's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for us, as we go through this story, to find yourself. Here's the story. And we'll just go ahead and read the text. Then they sailed to the, this is Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, you Jesus, Son of God, the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asking him, saying, what's your name? And he said, Legion, because we are many demons, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now, a herd of many swine were feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. And the demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down toward a steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who had fed them saw what had happened, they fled and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also, who had seen it, told them by what means he had been demon-possessed or he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into a boat and he returned. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might stay with him or be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and he proclaimed throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus had done for them. Jesus is the greatest gift to man that man has ever received, and many don't appreciate it. Maybe it's because he's not what they expected when they received the gift. It's like opening a package and saying, what am I going to do with this? I don't know what to do with this. But Jesus is the greatest gift, whether he's realized or not. And here's an occasion when he came and people had an opportunity to appreciate him. And they respond in three distinct ways. And I want you to see those responses and find yourself in the story. The first response is this, Luke 8, verse 34. When those who had fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. They fled from Jesus. These guys are watching this herd of swine, and when they see what happens, they shoot out. They're gone. They run back to the city. They don't engage Jesus. They don't say, hey, what's going on here? They don't say, oh, look what you've done to this man, how thankful we are to you. They see what happened, and they flee. They want nothing to do, because it says later they were afraid. They were scared. What in the world? What kind of man is this? They were afraid of Jesus and they fled. You know, years ago when I was in a college student, I was working one summer in a brickyard, and there was a guy that I worked real close with in that summer, and he was a religious guy, and we both carried these little Bibles that we could, on our break, we could pull out our Bibles and talk and study with each other. And I remember one day we were sitting there on break, and this guy, we both had our Bibles out, and this other guy comes up to us. He was kind of crusty guy and rough talking and all that kind of stuff. And he said, what are you guys doing? And we said, we're studying the Bible. You want to sit down? And he just like, no. And he just, you know, he was coming to join us, but when he saw what we were doing, off he went. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the Word of God. He was going the opposite way when he knew that Jesus was the topic of discussion. There are people like that today. Obviously, not you. You wouldn't be here if you were in this class. But there are people that you cannot talk to about Jesus. You bring the subject up, they'll shut it down. They are not going to engage you. They're not interested enough even to hear the good news of Jesus. You understand what he means to our life, and you understand what a difference he can make, not in this life only, but in the next life. And you want to share that with other people. And there are some people, they won't give you the time of day. They don't want to hear it. They just, default is off when it comes to Jesus. Like I said, that's probably not anybody here today, because if it were, you wouldn't be here today. You're not fleeing from Jesus as those men did, but it does represent and characterize some people. Some people just shut down, close their mind, close their ears when it comes to Jesus. I don't know what can be done for them. Somewhere, somehow, something has to take place in their life that is going to awake them from their spiritual blindness. And hopefully they don't remain there long enough to the point where they get hardened and cannot have and be moved by the truth. But let's look at the second class, because this may be where some may be. Luke chapter 8 and verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes came and they asked Jesus, do you mind just leaving? We would like for you to go. These are the people that the guys who fled came and told. You know what? There's this guy, and he just came to shore, and he did this. He, you know that crazy guy? That demon-possessed guy, we can't even control him. He breaks the bonds and he lives in the tombs and he runs around naked. That guy, he cast the demons out of them and they went into the swine. And the swine all ran over the hill and into the lake and they all drowned. And man, we took off. And we're here to tell you about what we saw. And so those people got together and they went out and they found Jesus. And they said, listen, we heard what took place here. We'd like for you to leave. You're a trouble to us. You've cost us a lot of money. You know, what they should have been saying is falling on their knees and praising him for being the Son of God. They should have given thanks to him because he brought a man back to his right mind and restored him. Do you know what that would have done? Everybody has family, don't they? I mean, that guy, whether his parents are still alive or not, or whether he had a wife or children or whatever, I don't know the story, and we're not given information about him, but, you know, people do have people who care for them, whether it's a friend, a mother, a father, a son or daughter, a husband, a wife, you know. This guy may have been given his life back. A mother and a dad might have gotten their son back that day. A wife may have gotten her husband back that day. Some children may have gotten their father back that day. And these people can't rejoice over that. All they're doing is counting dollars. You know what you know what you cost us? We would just like for you to leave because, well, you're not what we expected. And people were still pushing Jesus away because of what he cost them. Wait, you're saying if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, I have to give up what? You mean I can't do that anymore? I don't know if I'm, you know, can we not still... You see, Jesus says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Don't be ashamed of me and don't be ashamed of my words. And there are people who like Jesus. They like the thought of Savior, but they don't like much the thought of Lord. You mean, I like the fact that he can forgive me of my sins and declare me righteous before God and that I can then be justified in his eyes. But I don't much like the idea that he has this control over my life, this master Lord stuff where he speaks and I listen and obey. Obey, that's hard to say. But that's what Jesus calls us to. And there are a lot of people in this world who would just as soon Jesus leave them alone. They're willing to listen like these people were. They wanted to hear the story. They weighed the evidence. They saw what he had done. But their response is, would you just go away? And there are people like that. You know, if I became a Christian, it would mean trouble in my family. It would mean I'd have to quit doing this. It'd mean I'd have to start doing this. It would make a huge difference in my priorities. It's too much. Just go away, Lord. There are people like that today. And then there's this third person in this story, and I hope we're like him. Because whereas the initial people who were there and they witnessed this event take place, they were scared and they just ran. They didn't even stick around to ask Jesus any questions. They fled because they were afraid. And when they went back, they told others, and those others at least had the courage to check Jesus out. They measured him. They weighed the situation. And then they came to the conclusion, we don't want you. But here's this third guy. When Jesus decides, okay, you don't want me here, I'll leave. And he gets in the boat. This man who had been tormented by these demons, whose life had been turned upside down and who was a wreck, who must have been ashamed of himself when he came to himself and realized, here I am, I'm naked, I don't even have any clothes on. And did he have memory of the stuff that he was doing before and the shamefulness of all the things that he had done? He falls down before Jesus and says, please, take me with you. You've given me back my life. I owe you. And Jesus said, no, I don't need you to follow me, but I do need you. I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to go back to your home. And I'd like for you to tell them of the great things that God has done for you. And boy, that guy did. Look at what the text says. And when he went his way, he proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. How can you not? How can you be in the shape that you were in and be recovered and not tell people about what Jesus had done for you? And see, that's where we ought to be. We're people who, well, in God's eyes, we're just as undone and unclothed as this man was. We were every bit as defiled and messy as this man was. And then we heard the gospel and we obeyed and we were cleansed. We're, well, as Paul said, we died, we're buried, and we rise to walk in newness of life. We have a new life. And we're forgiven, and we don't have to answer for anything that we've ever done in our past. How do you not tell that to other people? This is what Jesus can do for you. This is what he's meant to me. And he can do the same for you. The gift of Christ. The gift of Jesus. Some people say, like, you know, when you open that present, you go, oh, great. Over the shoulder. Nothing. Some, I'll do it for a little while. I'll check it out. I'll look. This is really not. I don't want this. Somebody else want this. It's not for me. But there was the third guy who said, this is mine. I'll embrace it. I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, well, no, but here's what you can do. Just go home and live it and tell it. I can do that. And he did. And I hope we are today as well. Jesus may be entertained in different ways. God sent him as a gift to humanity, and people have responded from the beginning differently to this great gift. Some have said, I don't have time for that. Some have weighed it and said, no, it's just not for me. And some have said, this means everything to me. Well, here we are today, sitting in a building, and we've heard this message, and we are left with the same choice that people of other ages and other days have been faced with, and we too will make a decision about Jesus right now. We'll either run from him, we'll weigh what he has to say and make a decision, I don't think I'm going to do it. Or we'll embrace him and give thanks and live for him and proclaim his praises for the rest of our life. What are you going to do? If you've been running from him, stop running. If you've turned away from him because you've decided there are things in this life you like more than what he calls you to, you weigh that not in light of this temporary time that we have here, but weigh it in light of eternity. How appealing is that thing to you that makes you say no to Jesus in light of eternity? 10 minutes in hell, you're going to wipe your brow and go, man, is it hot down here? But it sure is worth it because I got to, and you fill in the blank. What is there that will enable you to say that? In view of eternity, there's no reason to turn aside the gift of God. What we need to do this morning is embrace him and leave this place and proclaim him to our friends and neighbors. And that's my challenge to you. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to become a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be one of those who are working on his behalf and on his side, you can't go with him right now, but you can do exactly what he told this man to do. You embrace it, you go home and tell other people what I've done for you, and you'll be fulfilling your mission. And we will too. If you're here and you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.